Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of You Can't Handle the Truth. Today's episode, we are going to be talking about a dad movie, okay? A brand new dad movie. Get ready, dads out there, because if you like Top Gun Maverick, and if you like Ford versus Ferrari, or Le Mans 66, as it's known here in the UK, you are going to love this new movie called Air. So it's directed by Ben Affleck, and it's starring Ben himself. It's got Matt Damon in it, Jason Bateman, Chris Messina, Viola Davis, Chris Tucker. The cast is stacked, and it tells the story of shoe salesman Sonny Vaccaro, played by Matt Damon, and how he wants to sign Michael Jordan for Nike. So it's set in 1984, and if you've seen The Last Dance on Netflix, which is the documentary on Michael Jordan, fantastic, by the way, I would highly recommend that. Absolute masterclass in documentary filmmaking and in terms of telling the story of, in my honest opinion, the greatest sports person to ever live. Okay, Michael Jordan is the GOAT, in my opinion. I love Mike, I really do. And if you've seen that, then you'll know that Nike trying to sign him was kind of a tumultuous relationship, and it was up in the air, quite literally. It was up in the air whether he was going to sign for them or Adidas. I mean, why do they keep saying Adidas? We say Adidas, right? Is it just me that says Adidas? Because I feel like it is Adidas. Anyway, Adidas or Converse, okay, they were trying to sign him as well, but Nike, obviously, you know, I'm pretty sure you know the story. Like, that's the thing. You know the outcome of this film. All right, not necessarily how it's going to arrive to that conclusion, but you do know, because it is one of the greatest selling shoes of all time, the Air Jordans. You know it's going to happen, okay? You just do. So I think this film works on so many levels, because not only does it boast really impressive performances, a fantastic script, it's funny as hell, it's got some great directing too. Like, this could have been a generic cash grab movie just to kind of expand a story that you already know, that you've read in a headline somewhere. Like, this could have been an article that you could just read in about 2 minutes flat, but it's an hour and 52 minute movie. It doesn't feel like that at all. There's a drama, there's a bit of stakes in terms of how much money are they going to be allocated to sign him, and is the big boss man Phil Knight, played by Ben Affleck himself, is he going to approve it? You know, what's going to happen? So, across the board, fantastic efforts all round. There doesn't seem to be a huge standout, aside from Matt Damon, because Matt Damon does seem to be the lead actor in this film, but everybody else, like, including Matt, every single actor is on the same wavelength, right? They are not trying to hog the screen, they're not trying to make it all about them. It's a massively fluid ensemble piece, similarly to the best thing recently I can think of would be The Big Short, which is amazing, I love that film. But this is in a very similar vein, in the sense that the supporting cast are all so, so good. Chris Tucker especially, though, I do want to give a shout out to him, because I was absolutely flabbergasted by how good he is in this film. He delivers a genuinely great performance. He's funny, he's entertaining, he's sharp, he's witty. He's Chris Tucker. Okay, Chris Tucker is so, so good in this film, and I'm pretty sure you were going to be thinking exactly the same. From the first scene that he's in, you're just thinking, this guy is on another level right now. Because I feel like we haven't seen Chris Tucker in a movie for a very long time. And so it's great to see him in a movie like this, because you're going for, I don't know what you're going to go for, to be honest. But, like, for me, I was going to go because I'm a huge Michael Jordan fan. And even though I did already know that there were certain terms and conditions to how Nike signed him, I was still curious about the time period. So the fact that it's set in 1984, it was at a time when Nike were really low in the ranks compared to Converse and Adidas. I think at the start of the movie, it says something like Converse is responsible for about like 54% of the shoes worldwide or in America at the time. Adidas, 30-something percent, and Nike was only 17%, which is not good. Like, that's not what you'd assume at all. But Nike were in a pretty shoddy place before they signed Michael Jordan. So at the start of the movie, they're discussing who we're going to sign, right? The NBA draft is here, and the board of directors, that group of people, they're going through the list of names, they're trying to determine who's worth signing, but they're not caring about the players, they're caring about the rankings. So Matt Damon is there to prove a point, to say, you need to care about the person, you need to care about what kind of player they are. And Michael Jordan was the best, or at least the best prospect in that group of people. So he made it his mission to sign purely him. They had about $250,000 to spend on multiple signings if they could, but he wanted to spend it all on Mike, every single last dime, on a rookie who had never set foot on an NBA court before, as Ben Affleck states. And then Matt Damon replies with, that is the literal definition of a rookie, all right? So it's funny, okay? I want you to go into this movie knowing it's a comedy, okay? Yes, it's a drama, but it is also really, really funny. And it's so engaging and entertaining through the music choices, because there isn't a prominent score per se, it is just the soundtrack killer 80s music throughout. Right from the opening, dropping that Dire Straits needle with Money for Nothing. Perfect, okay. I wasn't sure what they were going for when they opened the movie like that, because one of my favourite movies, Kingsman: The Secret Service, also does the same. And I thought that was the best use of the song. But I'm not going to lie, it's very close in this film. It's very, very close indeed. But the pop culture references from the movies to the music, costume design, you know, the outfits and the shoes, everything just honestly screams 80s. It is like they've managed to find a time machine and literally go back to the 80s to film this, because it feels so genuine and authentic and really well thought out. Because as I mentioned, it could have been a cash grab, right? It could have been a simple movie made by a simple director that just gave you a paint-by-numbers structure in terms of how this deal got made. But Ben Affleck, he's an amazingly talented director. Argo, Gone Baby Gone, The Town. The Town is one of my favourite movies that he's done. And this is up there once again proving he is such a talented director. The way that he moves the camera around the office sometimes, the cinematography just lingering on two people having a conversation, but it's following them around in such a unique way. It could have been like The West Wing, where it's just camera shot in front of them, dollying back, following them, then they turn a corner, the camera goes into that corner, and then follows them from behind. It could have been like that, but there's one scene when Jason Bateman and Matt Damon are walking through an office, and the camera starts off following behind them, and then it tracks around, and then it goes through the office space, and the two characters are still having the conversation, and then it picks back up with them again at a different angle, and it's like, wow, this is really impressive to look at. So yeah, just a really, really good film. I also want to give a shout out to the designer of the shoe itself, Peter Moore, played by Matthew Maher. I've seen him in a few things before. He was in Gone Baby Gone and Live by Night, two Ben Affleck movies as well. Oh my god, yes, he's in Grand Theft Auto 5. He plays Wade, right, Trevor's friend. That's hilarious, he's so good in that. But it's the first time I've seen him in something where he gets, like, kind of a major role. And he is so impressive, right, being the designer of the shoe, like, coming up with the iconic nature of the Air Jordan shoe. It's just a really powerful performance, and it's really engaging for you as an audience member watching this. It's full of characters you care about, even when they're arguing with each other. Chris Messina's character, he just swears and shouts a lot of the time, but it's so entertaining. It's so fun. Like, I'm laughing just thinking about some of the things that he says with Matt Damon on the phone. But I'm going to say it again. It's a fun movie. Okay, Jason Bateman, also fantastic. Viola Davis, incredible. She doesn't show up the rest of the cast like she usually does in films, but that's not a bad thing at all. Like, she is quietly reserved and incredible playing Michael Jordan's mother. And this is the one thing I don't want to reveal too much of, because there's an interesting concept behind what they've done in terms of representing Michael Jordan in this film, because you see archive footage of Michael Jordan, you see him when he's playing a game of basketball, you also see him on the golf course and in his gambling era and in his baseball era too, so there's a lot of archival footage used of Michael, but they don't actually make a habit of showing Michael in the present day, like in 1984, when he is really the key part of this deal. You don't see him. And the use of framing and the blocking used by each actor to, like, kind of block his face. If he's in frame, you can't see his face, right? You just see the back of his head, or you just see him from a side profile. Now, I don't know if this is a choice done because they don't want somebody just to imitate Michael, or they don't want to make it all about Mike, because they want to show this story from a different perspective, and that of Nike itself. Because, like I said, you've got the documentary you can go and watch where you see it from Michael's perspective. You see him saying, oh yeah, they came to me, they offered me this and that. But we don't know what it was like from Nike's own perspective. But now we do with this film. So on the one hand, I think that's impressive. But my only criticism would be it's similar to the King Richard movie, which is highlighting a very, very powerful guy. Okay, Richard Williams was an icon. But in that movie, you had Serena and Venus Williams, also two of the greatest sports stars of all time, at least of their generation, and in tennis for sure. Yet the film focuses on something or somebody different. And so in this film, to purposely ignore Michael Jordan in favor of showing his parents more and Nike more, and just seeing him in the background, I think it works. And in the grand scheme of things, I had no issue with it whatsoever, because it was actually a pretty genius move trying to do that and being able to pull it off. So kudos for that. Ben Affleck, hell of a director, hell of an actor in this too. Again, he doesn't steal the show. Okay, you would have thought it's easy for an actor to be directing something and want them to have the largest role in it, or them to be the star of the show. But yeah, Ben Affleck does get second billing, and he is playing the CEO, I think, of Nike. But it doesn't matter. Like, he's just delivering such a great performance, but alongside a cast of equally fantastic performers too. But Matt Damon, he has a couple of big speeches, great monologues in this film. The script is fantastic, but it's his delivery of these speeches which are just so powerful and really hype you up, right? As an audience member, you're feeling yourself hyped up. It's like a pep talk by a coach, okay? He's really delivering such an outstanding, masterful performance. And during that scene in particular, there's kind of a montage of things from Michael Jordan's life that haven't happened yet, which I thought was a really clever thing to do, albeit a very, very bold move too. So yeah, ultimately, this film does take risks. It does take a huge risk, thinking you're going to be interested in watching an almost 2-hour movie about shoes. But damn it, they really managed to succeed and they smashed it out of the park. It's getting great reviews, rightfully so. And the thing I love as well, it's a 15 rated movie here in the UK. It should be R rated over in America and worldwide. And it's kind of refreshing to see this kind of movie because, you know, something like Top Gun Maverick or Ford vs. Ferrari, they may have a bit of choice language here and there, but they are still 12 or PG-13 rated films, so it is going to appeal to a much more wider audience age range. But with Air, the fact that it was a 15 rated film with quite a bit of swearing in, it was a breath of fresh air, honestly. Don't mind the pun again, but that is simply the best way to describe it, right? This is like an old-fashioned movie, the likes of which are rarely seen nowadays, so I am all in, I'm here for more. I cannot wait to see what Ben Affleck directs next, because when Ben Affleck and Matt Damon work together, great things happen. And when Nike and Michael Jordan work together, even greater things happen. So go and check out Air in cinemas now, or as I like to call it, We Bought a Shoe. It's fantastic. It's a crowd-pleasing movie. You're all going to be laughing. You're all going to be tapping your feet at the great music too. Even if you're not a fan of basketball, or you don't wear shoes, or you don't even know what the f***ing Air Jordan is, go and watch it. You'll be surprised. You'll be pleasantly surprised. And I do hope this film continues to garner a great attraction as the year goes by, because I think it could be an Oscar contender. Go and check it out in cinemas now. I've been Kieran. I hope you've enjoyed this review, and I hope you enjoy the movie. Let me know what you think if you've seen it or if you've never heard of it and this is the first time hearing about it and you're thinking, you know what? I'm sold. I'm going to go and watch it. I hope you are, and my work here is done. So all that's left for me to say is, until next time, I shall speak to you in the very next episode of You Can't Handle the Truth.